It is Martin Zenner, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. And it is true, what you've heard about me, that I can't tell the difference between acts of God and acts of Satan. No, that's a small matter. Sorry about that. It's hard to tell whether it's God or Satan. God breaks things, Satan breaks things. God makes good things happen for you, Satan makes good things happen for you. God sometimes makes you feel happy. Satan sometimes makes you feel happy. And on it goes. Why am I sad? Because Satan's mad at me. Why am I sad? Because God's trying to teach me something in the still, quiet moments of my meditation. I don't know, but I did figure this out overnight. After wrestling with this overnight, I figured this out. It has to do with motive. That's right, motives, ladies and gentlemen, because I can tell you that the motives of God and of Satan are as different as can be. Jesus Christ and Satan, they have so different motives. Jesus Christ wants to bless you ultimately. He's doing the best for you. All things work together for good. And along that way, he needs crap broken. Things in your life, maybe your car, maybe your marriage, I don't know. He needs things broken for whatever reason. And then instead of doing it himself, he sends an agent. An agent of evil, Satan. We know that in the unveiling, I'm talking about Revelation here, happy day, God uses angels, he uses messengers of destruction who go around breaking things. We know that the messenger of the abyss, Apollyon, looses the locust. So that's a bad thing and a good thing. It's the torment of God, but Satan's behind it. So this is an interesting mix. An interesting mix, and again, it comes down to motive. Now, when the locusts are running around biting people and irritating people, they're doing it maybe for their own diabolical purposes, but it doesn't matter because they're subserving a greater purpose that is God's. So many, many examples of this. If they had known that they were crucifying the Lord of glory, they wouldn't have done it, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. The wise men of the sea, they didn't know what they were doing. Paul says of himself, I didn't know what I was doing. So Paul is acting against, in his early career as Saul, against Jesus Christ. He's pounding the saints, taking them away, putting them in jail. And yet this was a necessary prelude to his conversion. There is no conversion of Paul without Saul. There is no conversion. So it doesn't matter if the person's ignorant. The person's ignorant. The high priests were ignorant. If you had told them, if God had told them, you're killing the Messiah, they wouldn't have done it. But if they had known, they were doing it. But they didn't know. So Satan, this tool of God's that he uses in our lives, Satan doesn't know. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Satan's motive is to wreck for good. He wants to take you away from God, away from a realization that all things are working together for your good. But that can't happen. So he's totally living a life of frustration because God is always checkmating him, you see. And so this is our consolation that whatever happens, God is behind it. So you can have that demon buffeting you, as did the Apostle Paul, and still, even though it stinks, it smells like an evil spirit, it is an evil spirit. It is an evil spirit. It's a demon. Well, as Paul McCartney would sing, let it be. Don't go to Kenneth Copeland and have it shouted out of you. God is not a detergent to take stains out of your life. God put the stains there. And it's not your challenge to get rid of them. God put them there through Satan. Whatever. Paul said, I have a messenger of Satan. The premier evangelist, number one spiritual man on the planet, had a messenger of Satan. He said to buffet him. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. So, this messenger of Satan was used to give Paul a greater realization of the grace of God. God preserved him through it. So Paul had to live with this thing, kind of uncomfortable to live with it. You're struggling with things. And it's like those wet clothes you wear after a rain. You come in, they're heavy and they're wet and you can't stand it. But you just have to live with this. You have to live with it. until it's done. But God, you see, he's always managing the process. He's always managing the interaction of good and evil, the interplay. God is one behind all these things. Don't let anyone tell you different. So God is careful. And I have a friend who's convinced that God has left him. He's like, where is God? His life is so filled with trial right now. He can't take another thing. He thinks he can't. I was talking to him on the phone the other day. I didn't want to tell him this. Yes, you can. I didn't want to tell him that because I'm to be empathetic. I'm to mourn with those who are mourning and weep with those who weep. So I said, yeah, it's terrible. He goes, Martin, I can't take another thing. I said, I know. I wanted to tell him, yes, you can. But he did because he's still alive. He's contemplated suicide. The other day, this guy was standing on a barrel with a rope around his neck. Swear to God he was. And I put him in a good mood. How did I do it? I don't know if I should tell you. I practically saved this guy's life. And if I told you how I did it, I'd be criticized. I don't think I'm going to tell you. Sorry. I hate to do that. I shouldn't have said anything, but anyway. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Paul said that. I'm going to make a video on that. Oh, I should tell you, I got a new video series, not a series, but a new movie-type film series in mind, kind of like the Crack of Dawn reports. I'm going to tell you about that. No, I'm not. I'm just going to pretend I didn't say that either, and I'm just going to hit you with it sometime. Just hang in there, folks. Hang in there. You don't have enough of me yet, right? You only have this show 5 days a week. You have the newsletter on Sunday. So Saturday, you're going zenderless. And I know this is terrible for many of you. And I talk about being buffeted, you know, by a demon. So I'm going to try to fix this and bring you something on Saturday too. It's therapy for me as well. But back to this God and Satan thing. It's motive. It's motive. God's motives are always good. Satan's motives are always bad. Satan's not trying to play into God's hands. He's not trying to make you grow in wisdom, grace, and knowledge through this trial. He's trying to destroy you. And it might be his claws going down your face, bringing out the blood. But it doesn't matter because we have the promise that, for one thing, nothing has overtaken you except what is human. And for another thing, God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. And for another thing, God is operating altogether for the good. So it doesn't matter if it's actually the prince of darkness himself. And yes, I'm talking about Ted Cruz and Joel Osteen, both from Houston, Texas. And is Kenneth Copeland from Houston too? Again, Houston, we have a problem. So it doesn't matter who's in who's got the grip, who's throttling your neck, whose thumbs are pressing into your trachea, because God is inspiring it. Yes, I said inspiring it, and I'm staying with that term. God is animating the person. He's giving the person who is throttling you the life with which to do it. He's giving them the energy. God made sure that your enemy had an energy bar this morning, or had a nice smoothie blended with bananas and pomegranates and avocados in order to energize them to have another day of vexing you. And that's, I swear to you, that's the truth. And many of you aren't going to like to hear that. But the motive, go back to the motive, because that's the message of today. The motive. The motive is, God's motive is to bring you to a mature son and a mature daughter. And he could do this stuff directly to you, but look how unhelpful that would be. Let's say God did not have agents. Let's say that God did not have Satan as a middleman. It would be kind of unsettling to see God coming at you with a pitchfork. It's like, well, you're God, what are you doing to me? It's scary to see that. But if Satan's coming at you with a pitchfork, oh yeah, okay, Satan, I understand that. It's like, put up your armor. But the comfort comes from knowing that God's doing it, but he has a good purpose, but he's not soiling his hands. He's not hurting his thumbs on your trachea. He's using other thumbs, and that's a comfort to us when God himself doesn't do it, because he's our father figure, and we want to keep that nice, happy image of him. And you could sort of start thinking the wrong thing here. Well, yeah, he's our father figure, but what's the difference whether he does it directly or indirectly? What's the difference? Well, that's actually a good question. Let me think of that for a second. God, this job's hard. I know I make it look easy, but it ain't. The difference, if God does it indirectly or directly, it has to do with it's the way we're made. He made us so that we are comforted by the fact that God has the delicacy to not slap us himself, because he wants to keep our image of him pristine. But we don't mind being slapped by an agent when we know that the motive is good. Comes back to the motive. He's doing it out of love, always, no exceptions, no freaking exceptions. Love, and even if you kill yourself, even if my friend had jumped off that barrel and hung himself, that would have been God. Say, okay, his time's done, and I'm gonna end his eon by suicide. Predetermined. It's predetermined. So God's motive is always love, is always good. But because we're limited humans, we could get confused by that if God himself is coming at us with a pitchfork. He's not. He sends an agent. So it would confuse us. He could do it if we could handle it in our current disposition. But, Jesus could say, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, there you go. Jesus was the only one who had the spiritual, integrity to handle the fact that this was his father doing it. You might make the argument that he used Satan. So maybe it's the fact that Jesus just looked through Satan into God. Yeah, that could be as well. It still could have been the intermediary. Just like Job. Obviously, God used Satan to torment Job. And Job says he goes behind, never talks to Satan, talks to God. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? But in Job's humanity, it was easier for Job to do that, to come to that realization, when it wasn't God actually coming down, looking him in the eye and tearing at his flesh. Somehow we can handle it better. Oh, it's not God, it's this cancer. But then the Christians make the mistake of seeing the cancer, or seeing the car wreck, or seeing the ruined marriage or the ruined relationship, and saying that, okay, it's only Satan and God has nothing to do with it. You're making another mistake. So there's two mistakes you could make here on different ends of the pole. You can either say this thing is God has nothing to do with it, it's all Satan, so God's still in his little happy box where he is my total friend who would never do anything bad because I'm a cute little girl with pigtails, or that's a bad mistake. Or you can make the mistake that God is doing this to me, and God is mean, and God's just being very rude, and God is being indignant, and it's God's thumbs in my trachea, working toward my larynx. No, okay, that's another mistake. And so in order to keep us from making that mistake, God, in his wondrous appreciation of our infirmities, works through intermediaries, such as Satan, such as Satan's many minions, Satan's delegated doofuses of destruction, of Satan. So I'm good with that. I'm glad we've talked this through. I'm glad that in order to have this discussion, you and I, that I had to dispense with the Revelation series for the time being. Whether I will pick up with it on Monday or not, I don't know, because I'm taking this thing one day at a time. So whether it was Satan or God, the end result is the same. For us, that end result will always be good, because our God works all things together for good.